Hey, good morning. I got a good joke for you this morning. I heard about a guy that was driving down the road in his car, and he had his wife with him, who was very, very hard of hearing. As he was driving down the road, he happened to look up in his rearview mirror and saw blue lights flashing, and so he pulled over to the side of the road, waited for the officer to come up to his window. The officer came up, the man looked out his window, and the officer said, "Son, you think you're driving us a little bit too fast? I need to see your driver's license." The man's wife said, "What'd he say?" "Honey, he said he needs to see my driver's license." Officer takes the driver's license. He looks it over and says, "Oh, from Chicago, Illinois." And the wife said, "What'd he say?" He said, "Oh, you're from Chicago." Officer says, "Well, I got a funny story about Chicago. The meanest woman I ever met was from Chicago, Illinois." And the wife said, "What'd he say?" And the husband looked at her and said, "I think he knows you." Well, this morning we're wrapping up this sermon series. We've been looking at some phrases that I hope have been helpful for you because our words make our families. 2 weeks ago when we began this series, we talked about believing in our families, believing in our children. Last week we talked about being proud of our children. And today we're going to talk about this phrase, "I forgive you." This phrase can bring immediate and lasting impact if we share this phrase in the family, "I forgive you." There are a lot of family stories, a lot of families who have went through unforgiveness, and it tears families apart, it destroys relationships, and we don't want to see that with our families, but it's way too prevalent. And so this morning, I hope this is beneficial for you, that you can practice forgiveness in the family. Forgiveness withheld can be very, very damaging. And so we look to the Bible, and we look at God's example as a heavenly Father to us and how he forgives us and how we align that with how we give forgiveness in our homes. You look at the New Testament, forgiveness seems to be so easy. It's the theme of the New Testament. It's why Jesus came, is to give us forgiveness by his death on the cross and his resurrection from the grave. But if you look at the Old Testament, forgiveness looks a little bit different. It actually looks kind of hard. And when you really think about it, there's no chance at forgiveness without Jesus. Look back to the Old Testament. Moses, God's man, the Hebrew people, God's people. Here's what Moses said in Exodus chapter 32, verse 32, "But now please forgive their sin, but if not, then blot me out of the book you have written." What do you get from that? Forgiveness, it's not a given. Moses' protege, Joshua, he writes in the book of Joshua, chapter 24, verse 19, he writes these words, "Joshua said to the people, 'You are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins.'" Once again, forgiveness, it's not a given. Job, in Job chapter 7, verse 21, Job pleads to God, "Why do you not pardon my offense and forgive my sins? For I will soon die in the dust. You will search for me, but I will be no more." You search the Old Testament, you see that forgiveness is not a given. Forgiveness is found 68 times in the Old Testament. Then you look at the New Testament, a book that's roughly a quarter of the size in volume of the Old Testament. You see forgiveness talked about 125 times. Three times by John the Baptist, Jesus 121 times. And there's one more time that I want to point out. It came from the mouth of Peter. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 21, Peter said, "Then Peter asked Jesus, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?'" You see, Peter, he was raised as a Jewish boy. It was taught by the rabbis that you're to forgive someone just three times. And after the third time, you're done with them. You don't have to forgive them anymore. And so Peter, he replies to Jesus, "You know, how often should I forgive? Seven times. Seven, I'm doubling it plus adding one more." And I think Jesus is probably thinking, "You know what, Peter, don't break your arm trying to pat yourself on the back here." And Jesus has a response. You might be familiar with it. Jesus says, no, not seven, 70 times 7. 490 times, that seems like an awful lot. You see, Jesus was speaking hyperbole here. With Jesus, forgiveness is a given. And it's an expectation of the follower of Jesus Christ. Remember the Lord's Prayer? Tucked away in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus talks about forgiveness. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, Jesus says, "And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." And no sooner than Jesus says amen to this prayer, this is the only thing that Jesus comments on about the Lord's Prayer. He says these words in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." And we read verses like this in the Bible. This is one of those verses that steps all over our feet. We don't like to hear it. And when we hear these words of Jesus, we want to argue this in our minds. We want to justify our unforgiveness because of what someone has done to us or said to us. And we say, "Come on, Jesus, you don't get it. You don't know my situation. You don't understand at all what she said or what he did." But we should go back and remind ourselves that when Jesus was nailed to that cross, and that cross was set in that hole, and they hurled insults at Jesus, that in Luke chapter 23, verse 34, Jesus said these words, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. Jesus knows. Jesus knows your situation. And he knows, despite how you've been wronged, that forgiveness has to be a part of who you are as a follower of Christ. And he's asking you to do the same, to extend forgiveness to those who have wronged you in some way. Paul, he commented on this in the book of Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. He says, "Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you." It seems so simple, but if you've ever tried to forgive someone, it can be difficult. But what the Bible does teach is that it's essential. It is essential to have a healthy family, that in the home, in the family, that you would be forgiving of one another so that you can be that healthy family that God wants you to be. So what can forgiveness look like in your family? This morning I want to give some simple statements about forgiveness to put this into perspective. So here's number one. Forgiveness does not mean you become vulnerable to abuse. And so if you come from an abusive family or an abusive relationship, it does not mean that you have to forgive that person and go back to being abused. If you've went into business with someone and they've wronged you in a business situation, that doesn't mean you have to forgive them and come crawling back and get back into business with them. Forgiveness isn't about being taken advantage of at all. Forgiveness, to an extent, it doesn't mean that you just forget the past. Jesus didn't forget what had happened to him. Actually, he calls his followers to remember the sacrifice that he made. And that sacrifice that he made, that death on the cross, it gives us a release. And I think if you look at the times you've been wronged and you have forgiven that person, we don't necessarily forget what had happened, but we can use the past and look back and think, "Wow, look how God moved. Look how God worked in this situation where I felt so vulnerable. I felt so less of myself because of how I had been wronged." And we don't forget the past, but we use that to remind us of how God, through his strength, how he brought us through forgiveness. Here's another one. Forgiveness does not mean you remove consequences. As parents, we know this to be very true. Your little girl comes up, "Mommy, I'm so sorry." And mommy says, "I know you're sorry, but you're still grounded. Your teenage son, dad, I'll never do that again. Yeah, son, you better not, but you're grounded from the car. When we do things that are wrong, we can be forgiven, but there are still consequences attached to them. When God forgave you, he didn't remove the consequences of your actions in this life, but he has removed the condemnation for eternity. God forgives us, but there are still consequences that we face this side of eternity. And so when we forgive, and whether you're the person that has wronged someone or you're the one that has been wronged, there are still going to be consequences attached. This is very, very true when it comes to abuse. Whether that's physical, sexual, emotional, mental. That when someone abuses someone else, they certainly can be forgiven, but there's consequences attached to our behaviors. So we have to keep that in mind. And if you have been abused in some way, I want you to hear this, and it's not easy, I know. Forgiveness means that you release all rights to revenge. As hard as that might seem, as much as you've been hurt. And it can seem like you have the right, but that doesn't make it right. If we try to retaliate, when you think about unforgiveness is like a consuming fire. When we're unwilling to give the forgiveness that needs to be given to someone who has wronged you, it can burn inside of us, and it also consumes those who are the closest to us. That could be a spouse, it could be your children, it could be your parents, it could be coworkers. And it's not having any effect on the person that you won't forgive, but it's affecting everyone else that's in your life. And so we have to be willing to release the pain and offer forgiveness. Also, something we need to know about forgiveness is that it's a process, not an event. We're not robots that we can flip a switch on or off to forgiveness and then we just forget about what had happened and we're able to completely move forward in an instant. But rather, this is a process that can take some time. There can be some slight relapses, but we trust in God that he can carry us through when we offer forgiveness. So if you're to think about forgiveness in your own family, if you were to sit down at the kitchen table and you have mom and dad and the children, and we'll even invite the grandparents to take a seat at the table, and you matched up relationships between different members of the family, what does forgiveness look like between each individual in that table? Well, let's take a look. How about forgiveness for a parent to a child? I think this is probably the easiest forgiveness relationship in a family. This oftentimes it mimics God's relationship to us. Within parents, there's something that's ingrained in us that it just seems easier to forgive our children than to forgive anyone else. But there's something as parents that we need to remember when we forgive our children. That we don't just think about it mentally, that we have forgiven them, but we have to express that to them. That yes, my child has done wrong, they're sorrowful, and I tell them, I forgive you. And I think it's so important to practice this when they're very small, so that when they get a little older, old enough to start hearing God speak to them, they will have already known what forgiveness is about. And it might make it easier for them to transition into that relationship with Jesus and knowing what forgiveness feels like. Another relationship is child to child. And if you have more than one child, you know that kids, do your kids get along just fine? I think all of us struggle as parents that we have children that, well, they squirmish sometimes. They get under each other's skin. And as parents, we're trying to referee these situations. But as parents, it's our job to teach our children how it is they can reconcile with one another, how they can forgive one another. And it's really important that we show them how that can happen. Because the fear is, if we don't teach our children how to forgive one another, by the time they get to junior high, and they have friends and other children that are close to their age, that they don't get along with, they're gonna have a tough road. They'll have a tough road because they don't know how to move past and to forgive those who wrong them. And so, child-to-child forgiveness is important for mom and dad to teach. How about this relationship? Child-to-parent forgiveness. Now, it might be a shocker to any kids that are listening. Us parents, sometimes we make mistakes. To be honest with you, I make way more mistakes than I should. And as a parent, we need to be willing to be honest with our kids. That when we mess up, when we make mistakes, that we ask them for forgiveness. That we not be so prideful that, well, I'm a parent, I should never have to ask my child that. That we own up. We own up for the mistakes that we make. And when our children, they're old enough to know when we mess up, that we just ask our children, will you forgive me? And I think it's pretty shocking how quickly children forgive their parents. Now, as a parent, if we don't practice admitting our mistakes and asking our children for forgiveness when they're teenagers, then they're probably going to hang on to that well into their 20s. If we don't admit our mistakes and ask our children for forgiveness while they're in the home till they move out, they may hang on to that until their 40s. And so it's really important that we not be so prideful as parents that we think our kids don't recognize it or they just shouldn't, it shouldn't matter to them. That we recognize our mistakes and we ask our kids for their forgiveness. How about this relationship, parent to parent? All right, spouses, I'm talking about us. Another shocker, even the greatest of marriages, there's tiffs every now and again. And a lot of times what you see in a marriage relationship is that when one spouse upsets or offends another, they feel that they have to go on the defensive and bring people alongside with them. And an example could be the husband does something that offends or upsets his wife, and so she decides, you know, I need someone on my side. And so she goes and gets her mom, and she says, you know what he said to me, and the, you know, the mother-in-law, you know, I always said that you were too good for him. You never should have married him. And then the wife thinks, you know, well, I got her on my side. You know, maybe I should try to get the kids on my side. And that's going to backfire every time. Because while you're hurt, you're emotionally hurting in this situation, your children won't hurt emotionally the way that you hurt. They just don't understand that. And so you cause a problem, another problem. They're not going to feel your pain, but they're going to start to feel their own pain. As they see their security being broken down in the home and mom and dad pitted against one another and trying to divide up sides, and it's just not healthy. And the last relationship is parent to grandparents. It can be devastating when parents use their children as ammunition against the grandparents because the parents are upset about something that has happened in their past or current conditions with their parents, and so the kids are used as the weapon against the grandparents. And this isn't fair to the child at all. It's not their fault, and they're not a part of this, and they need their grandparents. As long as it's a healthy relationship, they need that wisdom, and they need that love from their grandparents. And one thing we have to consider as parents is that if we're using our kids as leverage against the grandparents, you're teaching your kids how to treat you when you get older. And so we need to be careful there. The bottom line is this. We have to be willing to forgive. It was modeled by Jesus Christ. We are given that example to follow. And if you've experienced pain, revenge is not the solution. It's not the answer. Because unforgiveness, it will burn within you, and it will cause a lot of damage and a lot of problems. And you're only hurting yourself. While we think we're hurting the other person, it's like you drinking the poison. That's what unforgiveness is. And trying to forgive without Jesus as your Lord and Savior is going to be virtually impossible. Because through the power and strength of God and the Holy Spirit, the example of Christ, forgiveness can happen even in the harshest situations. And so Paul wrote to the Colossian church, forgive just as the Lord forgave you. I'm glad you watched this worship service with us this morning. I hope that you have a great week. Next Sunday, we're going to celebrate moms on Mother's Day. We're looking forward to that as well. I hope you have a healthy, safe week ahead. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the day that we have where we can come together and to worship. I pray, Father, that we would continue to stay connected to you, and we can do this through these videos, through, Father, prayer, personal prayer, through the reading of your word at home. And I pray, Father, that we would continue to strengthen ourselves in our faith, that we wouldn't relax during this time. And I think that can be very tempting as we occupy our time with other things. I pray that we wouldn't fall short of continuing to worship you and growing in our faith. Father, at times like this, this is where our faith needs to continue to grow so that we can make it through the ups and downs of this life. I thank you for everyone who has watched. I pray that you would bless them in a special way. And as I mentioned at the beginning, Father, we're praying for those who are on the front lines, who are essential workers, who are put into close contact with lots of people. I just pray that you would continue to guard them from this virus, that you would bless them in a special way. Father, also remember those in the nursing homes who are perhaps our most vulnerable. I just pray, Father, that you would continue to protect them. And Lord, that you would be with those healthcare professionals there, that you would protect them as well. That, Father, you would give us understanding in a difficult time, and that we would lean on you, not our own understanding. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week.